Oh, it's beautiful. There we go. We have bars and everything. Hi, I'm Barbara, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Barbara.
There we go. That's good. Some good energy. So I find it interesting that there's even people here to talk about the traditions and the group conscience. Really, what do we need it for? We're fine, right? Not so much. Our common welfare should come first. I love the fact that our tradition doesn't say must, doesn't say require, and it tells us it should, which gives us room to fail, which I'm really pleased about, because I'm a person who has failed, and some people might tell you if they were taking my inventory frequently, about whether or not I was putting the common welfare of OA first. Our personal recovery depends on OA unity. I was looking at some things. First of all, well, we should do some specifics. My name is Barbara. I'm compulsive. I've been abstinent for about 18 and a half years. My abstinence date is October 8th, 1995. I'm maintaining 65-70 pound weight loss. I have a sponsor. I have sponsees. I have a home group. I'm still a lunatic around food on any given day, should I have a feeling. And thank goodness that my personal recovery over these past years has been supported by the unity of OA, because it truly does take a village. I don't know about you, but to keep me abstinent on a daily basis. It's very striking. We stay whole or OA dies. If we don't stay whole, that's it. There's no more meetings, there's no more days in OA, there's nobody. So how do we stay whole? And I think that's what this tradition is about. So in preparation for it, I went to the mothership program. I went to, you know, the AA literature, and I read a little bit about the first tradition, and then I went to another little piece of literature about how AA got started and all of their false steps. They had a few. And welcome from Southern California, too. You'll go to any length, won't you? Yes. And this is any length, no. Some of the things that I was reading as I was reading the OA Tradition 1, the questions, and also in AA, how do we stay whole? We carry this, one of the phrases I heard was, we carry this life-giving grace to others. I am of the belief that the abstinence that I have been given, which I'm given on a daily basis, by the way, and I'm just going to share with you how I receive it. It's not the FedEx guy or the UPS gal. It's on my knees in the morning, and I receive it with my hands up. I don't have them closed. I don't have them in fists. I don't have them holding my head up, although that's maybe how I start. It's with my hands open to receive a gift of abstinence and grace on a daily basis. And I can't grab it. I can't squeeze it. I can just hold it, and my prayer each day is that I treat this gift of grace with dignity, because that's all, because it can leave me in a minute. I get on the freeway, it can be gone. I walk into a 7-Eleven, see ya. You know, I'm walking over to what's healthy in the 7-Eleven. Oxymoron. Although they have bananas now, so I'm really excited about that. And so if I don't carry, and that word is important to me, this life-giving grace and offer it to others as well as to myself, then I'm going to be back in my home. I'm going to be back in my living room. I'm going to be back with the shades closed. I'm going to, now that we have caller ID, because back when I came into the rooms, we didn't have caller ID. I would just let the phone ring. Now I'll get caller ID, and, you know, I'll probably only talk to telemarketers. That's what will happen if if OA were to go away. So that tells me how important it is. So what am I doing to contribute towards it? Well, the literature tells me, I don't know about you guys, but it tells me that I have to conform, not a word that I'm really good with. But I have to conform to principles of recovery or to spiritual principles of kindness, generosity, selflessness. Again, these are not terms that necessarily would have been used to describe me in any fashion in 1994, and only sometimes in 2014. Here's the good news as I've learned it. If we are all OA right here, and this was it in its entirety, we could make it work. And the reason is because we're not all crazy on the same day. At least that's my experience. I mean, I've seen some people who I have placed on the pedestal in a business meeting or placed in a pedestal in a meeting, and I've watched them lose their ever-loving poo. And you step away, you know, give them the space, because that's scary. Things might change. It could get weird in a way. But then everyone else has got a level of sanity for the day. And we go and embrace the person who's losing their ever-loving poo. That's part, for me, of what Tradition One is about. Now, if you came here today to hear about how I have maintained a 65 or so pound weight loss, I'll tell you. I went to OA meetings and I participated in the business meeting, and I either kept my mouth shut or argued. I called my sponsor, I did a fourth step. I had a plan of eating, and then I went to another meeting and didn't talk about how upset I was about what happened at the last meeting. And then I did a 10 step at the end of the day, and then I got up in the morning on my knees and I put my hands out like that for the mic, up and open. That's how I did it. There's a lot of specifics in the middle of it. And I'll tell you, my first 2 years in OA, I was quite certain, and there's one or two people that are in the room today that were here when I came in, and I was quite certain I was going to, you were not very organized. There was no head person coordinating things. There were no strategic planners. How had you evaluated things? So you quite clearly needed a leader. You needed someone to coordinate and organize. You needed someone to bring a little sense of sanity to the organization. And I was going to be the person that would do that, because I had every piece of literature, and I carried it in a canvas bag, and I had read it all in case you had a question so that I could find your answer. I was going to 7 to 10 meetings a week. And there might be a person or two in here that might mention that I was a little bit angry. And I also weighed over 225 pounds. So, really wasn't a good mix. But I was going to end up being the leader of this. I was going to lose the weight. I was going to learn it all. I was going to be the leader. I was going to help you get organized. And I was going to leave you after a couple of years. It was a two-year plan. I was going to leave you much better off than when I arrived. And then I would move on to my next hostage situation. So for some reason, God placed in my life this woman who had a lot of spiritualness and had the gentlest of spirits and souls to be my sponsor. And for some reason, I couldn't bowl her over. So she had like rebar concrete inside of her somewhere, but it just wasn't on the outside. And she was all about greeting the newcomer, being of service, calling her sponsor, and showing up. And I just thought she was saccharine sweet, and it drove me nutty. Oh, why are you always talking to people you don't know? And it took me a while, but now I talk to people I don't know. I just got to meet Bonnie from Pollock Pines today. She came down the hill a long ways, and I just got to chat with her for a few minutes, and then I got to introduce her to someone else who said, I grew up in Pollock Pines. And so she taught me how to do that, to become the tapestry rather than single, singular, and opposed, because our common welfare has to come first. I have to know you, at least that I can call you, when I am standing in front of the refrigerator hoping that new food was brought in overnight by someone else. I live alone. So here I am in OA, and I started going to business meetings, which I will tell you I avoided for the first 6 months because, well, again, I was a little angry. And I wasn't going to put up with the happy hoo-ha that was going on at those meetings because, you know, I heard about them, which, let's identify that. That's gossip. But I heard all about it, and I milked it. Tell me more. Tell me more. And who said what? And so some people, we're not all well on a given day. But what we know in our world, I know this in my world. It may not apply to you. But in my workplace and in the world that I see, whether it's on the news or in the newspaper, and in my family life, there's personalities that are trying to destroy other people, trying to destroy communities and groups and ways of life. And yet, when I come into OA, there's personalities, and many of us have reins, you know, we're trying to pull back, and we can see them pop up a little bit. But what I've experienced for about the past 18 years is that there's no one trying to destroy OA. There's no one trying to destroy a meeting with intent to do it. There's no one seeking wealth to be the king or queen of OA, or to walk around with a nice badge that says, really big, I'm abstinent, pat me on the back. So power, prestige, wealth, those things have been removed from OA with these traditions. And for that, I'm eternally grateful, because I, in my professional life, will keep trying to climb a ladder that doesn't have many rungs on it. Or if there are, there's five people right above me and they're stepping on my head. Or at least that's my victim-y perception. So when am I going to get off the ladder and do what I need to do and the work that I need to do? So there's a lot of things going on in my head right now. I wish I could show you the movie instead. We have business meetings. We have intergroup. We have region two. We have world service. So let me ask a couple questions just to make it a little interactive. How many of you have been to a World Service meeting as a representative? Raise your hand. Thank you very much for the three of you for your service. And those are interesting, I've heard. I've listened to the tapes, CDs, recordings, I guess we call them now. They're very interesting. They're challenging. There's pros. There's cons. There's only so many minutes. There's go pray about it in the hallway. There's breaks outside. There's challenges, and change is afoot at a glacial pace. But they're challenging. There's region two, which is like the feeder system for world service, right? And you go on, you got your pros, you got your cons, we're going to have change. How are we going to do it? How do we carry the message? What's the best way to carry the message? Everyone has an idea. There's opposing viewpoints. But this tradition holds true. Our common welfare must come first, should come first. I put must in there. See, that would be me. And then we come down to intergroup. And that's where, that one's really challenging for me, because that's where we know the personalities. I have to sit next to the personalities in a meeting. God forbid, you may have to sit next to the personalities in a meeting. How do you deal with that? What do you need to do? What do I need to do? How many of you have been to Region 2? Raise your hand as a representative. Fantastic. The feeder system is growing. How many of you have been to Intergroup here in Sacramento Valley? Enjoying those two-hour meetings? Fantastic, right? But lots of great work to carry the messages done. How many of you have been to a business meeting in OA? How many of you have left strong in your abstinence when you left the business meeting? And how many of you left just going, really? Okay. So that's honest. And so let's talk about some of that. We have a responsibility, and the questions that Christian read in the back of the book are so important. I have a friend in OA. Everyone has a name for their higher power. And you get to call it what you want. Please. And I would love to hear the names you have for yours. But I have mine, and it's somewhat traditional. But my friend has the name Chewy for her higher power. And I giggle every time I think about it. And now they put a restaurant up at the corner of El Camino and Watt. And it's healthy. And it's called Chewy's. And I drive by it, and I think of this friend, and I think of a higher power every time I drive by it. And I share that with you because it is important for me to be open to other ways of thinking. Openness, just like what Phil read from the Four today. Open-mindedness, willingness, wrapped in kindness, tolerance. And let me tell you, I want to share some experiences with you about how successful I've been or not. And what I've learned from these experiences, because I think that's what's the most important. I got to be in a business meeting for my Saturday morning home group, a couple of them that were very challenging for me, because I, unlike you, don't like change at all. And because if something's worked, don't change it, don't fix it, leave it be, don't you know. And it was early in my recovery, and there was a discussion that came up about taking a chip for recovery versus taking a chip for abstinence. Now that should make everyone just a little uncomfortable that I'm even bringing it up, maybe. I don't know. But there were two factions in this meeting about where it should go and how it should be done. And I'm sitting there going, and here's the really sad part for me. I am in a profession that requires me to think from both perspectives, or all three perspectives, and requires me to talk out of both sides of my mouth depending on who I'm representing, because I are a lawyer. And so I'm sitting there, and I am twisted, and I am torn, and I'm seeing tears from people. I'm seeing furrowed brows and raised voices in an OA meeting. This whole group was going to compulsively overeat after this meeting. I just knew it. And I didn't have anything to say because I wasn't around long enough to have an opinion. I had an opinion, don't worry, but not really a value that was going to any value added. And thank goodness I had enough spiritual duct tape that day to just be quiet. But I watched, and it was a half hour meeting, and now we were starting to repeat the same things over and over again, expecting everyone else to come over to the other side. Someone called in the middle of it for the Serenity Prayer. I'd never seen this happen. And everyone stopped. There was like a collective big breath. Everyone said the Serenity Prayer. The tears kind of went away. The furrowed brows opened up a little bit. And I think at that very moment, the higher power was called in. Called into the group. Do we need to change anything, or should we change something? The conversation changed completely. There was a motion, there was a vote, there was a decision. Not everyone agreed with it, but it was the group conscience, and the minority view had been heard. And everyone, their personal views had been heard. And now the common welfare of the group was being taken care of. Now here's the amazing thing. When we left that room on the second floor of the hospital up there, the person that was crying and the person that had the furrowed brow, who were on opposite ends of this opinion, thank you, walked out with their arms around one another. I looked at that and I said, well, there is something terribly wrong here. They're supposed to be enemies. They're supposed to not even like one another. But it was something that stuck in my head till this day, to the fact that I'm telling you about it. Our common welfare. That woman needed that other woman in case she was going to open the refrigerator, or if she was in that 7-Eleven, or if she was going to go to the bakery and get the pink box. She needed that person, and she knew it. These were people with recovery. So I was particularly the one that was crazy that day, because they clearly weren't. They walked out in unity. And the one sentence that is so stands out to me in our tradition is, unity is not the same as uniformity. And one of the things that I will share with you is that it is important for us to give opinions a respectful hearing, and this is in our OA literature. Express our own opinions honestly and without belittling the opposing view. Keep minds and hearts open to your higher power, to your higher power's will in all matters when it comes to our meetings. Now, as I'm talking about this, I got to tell you, this applies to my family. When I'm participating, they don't have the traditions, but I do. This applies in my workplace, I think. God help me, and he needs to. And this applies in my world with the poopy heads on the freeway. It applies everywhere, but if I don't have it in OA, if I don't have it in a meeting, I gotta tell you, I'm screwed. Because then I'm different than you, I'm alone, I can't call you, I can't leave a message, I can't ask for help. Another story. This one was about my behavior. In my first 5 or 6 years in program, I had the opportunity to be chair of intergroup. I told you I was going to be in charge. But it was a 6-year plan, I think. And so I was chair of intergroup, and we were doing a bunch of different stuff. We had just had convention. And we had in 98, I think, and so it must have been around 2000. And there was some topic that was up, and it's very interesting that I cannot even tell you what the topic was, but I'm the chair. And so I had 6 hands up, and okay, you're first, you're second, you're third, fourth, fifth, sixth, okay, we're going through the people, and then more hands are popping up, and I just was tired of the conversation. I'm just letting you know. I was very tired of it. We were repeating the same thing over and over again. And I interrupted somebody and called for, can we get a motion here? We had a motion, but can we call for the vote? I don't know that we're getting anything new in our discussions. And that's pretty much how I said it. So, you can imagine what happened when I spoke like that. There was that. And some eyes went down, and there were tears, and then there was one person who was built and acted just like me in that meeting. She put her hand up, and I said, yes. And she said, I don't think that it was appropriate for you to say that, nor kind, and not part of the traditions of OA. I would like you to reconsider. And she was right. So I called for the serenity prayer because my pride was starting to take over. And we said the serenity prayer. And it was during the serenity prayer that I got the voice from my higher power as, you are so wrong. And you need to say that right now. No. Yes. No. Yes. But this is forever now. So we finished the serenity prayer, and I took a deep breath, and I said, you know what? How I phrased that, I was conditionalizing it. How I phrased that was not nice. And although I'm the chair, I need to bring some closure to this. I could have said it differently. And the woman who spoke to me just kind of went. And I said, and upon further reflection, I just looked at the woman that I interrupted and I said, I was wrong to speak that way to you. Now, and I said a few other things, and then the light came back up in the room, and the conversation continued for another 15 minutes. And then there was a vote. And the decision was made, the minority view was heard, and everyone was considered. So, and the person whom I had offended and whom I attempted imperfectly, without the help of a sponsor, to make the amends to, came up to me afterwards and thanked me. And I don't tell you that for good for Barbara, but more that I got to do it a little bit more with her one-on-one, and then there were hugs. And we got to walk out whole. I think there were a lot of 10 steps that got to get written that night, too. And God, I'm glad I gave people an opportunity to do recovery. But some of the things I'm coming to the end of my time, and I'm hoping that some of these experiences might be helpful to you. There's, some of us have very strong personalities, and some of us don't. Some of us are a little co, and some of us aren't. Some of us are passive aggressive, and some of us are just victim-y. Some of us are all of those things on different days of the week, just like clean underwear. We're just something different every day. And we don't know how to communicate sometimes as effective if something is passionate to us. I know that for me, I come in like a bulldozer, and I hope you just give up quick. And my hope is that over time, that maybe that has softened a touch. But it's important for us to remember, how do we say what we're feeling or what our opinion is or what our fear is in a group conscience, in a business meeting? We have a lot of things that we can have opinions about. Let me share some of them just to kind of get your minds thinking. How concept, sugar, flour, abstinence, recovery, food plan of eating, counting your days, not counting your days, FA, AA, Al-Anon, I mean, outside issues. All of you should maybe start going, oh, is she going to talk about, not going to. But how do we deal with it? How do we respond? Out of fear, out of anger, out of gentleness, out of kindness? Is the voice allowed to be heard? Does it affect me? Does it affect OA as a whole? You know, I went and looked at the tradition checklist in the other fellowship, and I thought it brought up some pretty good things in addition to the questions that were read out of the OA 12 and 12. Am I in my group a healing, mending, integrating person, or am I divisive? What about gossip and taking other members' inventories? Sometimes there's small meetings and everyone thinks, you know, let's have some outside readings or let's crosstalk. So what's your group conscience if it's not working for you? Are you willing to call for a business meeting to talk about it? Am I a peacemaker? Or do I, with pious preludes such as, well, just for the sake of discussion, plunge into an argument? I'm admitting it. Am I gentle with those who rub me the wrong way, or am I abrasive? Do I make competitive remarks, such as comparing my group with another, or contrasting OA meetings here with OA meetings there? I've had the opportunity to go to meetings in many places in different countries, and I got to tell you, they saved my backside on every occasion, and they did it wrong in most other places. But they had the steps, they had the traditions, and they had the desire to not compulsively overeat. And they were willing to accept phone calls from me. By the way, don't say you're pissed in England. It means you're drunk. Do I put down some OA activities as if I were superior for not participating in them? Am I informed about OA as a whole? Do I support it in every way I can, or just the parts that I approve of? Am I considerate of OA members as I would like them considerate of me? I am going to share a pet peeve. Discuss amongst yourselves later on. You know, it says don't carry outside conversations in meetings, maybe go outside, give the speaker the attention. By the way, you've all done very well with that. But I think we have a new thing that's happening in our meetings now. And it is this. Can you tell? Everyone tell what I'm doing? Yeah. Our telephones, our texting, our emails, our whatever, during meetings. Are we being kind and considerate? Is that helping OA as a whole during our meetings? Is it? Am I guilty of it? You bet. So how are we? Are we acting the way we would want others to act in an OA meeting? If I'm a newcomer, if I'm a new person in OA, and everyone at the table is doing something different than listening, are we being supportive of OA as a whole? We should do that. Because my life, and I need you guys to be here for about the next 25 or 30 years. After that, I don't care what you do. But for the next 25 or 30, let's watch out for the common welfare of OA, because it's saving our lives with grace and with dignity each day. Thanks.
Thank you. Group conscience.